I don't know who has had power this week in their homes, but our house was fully electric, and when the power goes out, it goes out. It's something how God prepares you when something is coming up that we can't wait till the last minute to prepare for. It's something when we take advantage of the power that we, the little bit of power that we do have. Flushing the commode. Washing dishes, running water to wash dishes. Turning on the TV at the flip of a switch. All of these things, turning up the thermostat on your heat. All of these things we take for granted. We never think about it until it's not there. Then we want to call on the power source. Look here, my power's out. Well, what's your address? Give me the address. So we'll be there as soon as we can. It'll be a few hours. We have several people that doesn't have power. But the power I'm going to talk about this morning is concerning every part of us. It's the power that gave us the strength in spite of losing man-made power that brought us through. It's the power, the same power that Lord says we are in that bubble. I'm going to protect you from that virus. Just look at the families. Even in our family, when I say family, I mean church family, I mean my in-laws, things that are happening because of this pandemic. Souls were lost because of this pandemic. Lord, what can we do? You said all power is in your hands. Today I'm going to talk about that power. The title that I have, The Need for Kingdom Power. And I have a subtitle, Understanding Kingdom Power. We can have kingdom power and not understand it. This is one of those messages today that it has the potential of changing lives, particularly your life. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus is having final words with his disciples. They had been walking with him for 3 years. They have seen his life. They have seen his power, and they have seen people raised from the dead. I tell you, wouldn't you like to be under him during those times? They had a teacher who was the greatest. They had a teacher who was the best. This is better than any seminary you could go to. Nothing wrong with seminaries, but this, the teacher of this seminary, nothing else could top it. They had seen all of these things Jesus did. They had been with him for three years. They had a private teacher. No mistakes that he made. The greatest illustrations we could ever have. The greatest use of the word. They had it all. Wouldn't you agree? Yes. They had it all. I mean, 3 intense years with Jesus Christ. But when it came time for him to die, they all abandoned him. They all ran. Peter denied him 3 times. It says they hid for fear of the Jews. Somehow, that seminary, the best seminary you could ever go to, somehow that seminary didn't work. Somehow seeing all those miracles and hearing all all that teaching and seeing all those illustrations and listening to all of those sermons didn't work when crunch time came, because they ran for their lives. Jesus now, 3 days later, rises from the dead. He is alive again. And we are told that in Acts 1, when Jesus arose from the dead, and verse 3 says, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs. In other words, he showed himself to them. They could see the nail scars in his hand. The Bible says they ate with them. He ate with them. The Bible says one day the door was closed and he walked right through the door. When the door was closed shut, the two disciples on Damascus Road, their hearts burned within them when the risen Christ shared the word of God with them along the way. I'm putting a lot of emphasis on this because I want you to see something. There is a 40-day gap between his resurrection from the dead and his ascension up into the heaven. There were 40 days. That's a 40-day gap. Verse 3, the other half of verse 3 says, during those 40 days, he had a Bible study with them. It says, and speaking of things regarding the kingdom of God. And that's what we are going to talk about today, the rule of God. He taught them how to operate under his rule. He gave his apostles the orders, the instructions, the guidelines of how they were to operate under his rule. So now we got a Christ who died, a Christ who arose, a Christ proving himself to be Christ. And one thing about that, they got more Bible study. Because he taught them things concerning the kingdom of God. But then he tells them something a little strange. He says, after the Bible study, after all the miracles that we saw, after all the things they saw for those 40 days by the risen Christ, he tells them not to do anything until you receive power. Don't do nothing. In other words, the Bible says, you just stay put. In other words, so I'm talking about all that Bible study teaching wouldn't be enough. Believing in Jesus that he died and he rose would not be enough. Having all those miracles, those 3 years, were not enough. Because you can have the best Bible teaching, the best Bible study, the best church programs, and believe in Jesus all you want to. But if there's no power, what we are lacking today personally and as churches is power. When I speak of churches, I'm using a general concept of it, not particularly talking about no one personally, not talking about no particular church, because God's word is for the church. We are part of the body of Christ. We are the church. So if anything I'm saying that you know you need, from now on, I don't care. That's what I was telling you. The Lord has been blessing us through the different ministers, been come preaching over this pulpit, and we've been going, and we hear it, and when Monday morning, we lost it. But I'm going to tell you one thing. This is not the time to slack up on God. This is not the time to be a part-time Christian expecting a full-time God. This is not the time. God is serious. I don't know what's happening. I know it's the last of the last days. I know I can look around and things are happening. Sister Sheila told you some of the things that are happening, but she missed the volcano that's in Guatemala. Oh, man, this thing is shook up. He missed how cold it got in Florida, and it was colder in Texas a couple of days ago than it was in Alaska. The church is lacking power today. What the enemy has done has gotten churches to think that if I can increase the programs. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Or maybe if I could do more. Maybe I can go to church more. Maybe if I read my Bible a little more. Jesus says, even as I taught you 40 days, he says, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. You stay right there where you are until you receive power. If we had more power, we wouldn't need as many programs. If we had more power, we wouldn't need many counseling sessions, as many counseling sessions. If we had more power, we wouldn't need artificial means to help us cope. What we are lacking, church, is power. And power comes from one source. Power comes from one source. Power comes from one source. I'm going to tell you in a second. The Holy Spirit. The thing, we have a misconception of the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to get there in a minute. I want to jump ahead of myself. I'm going to sort of teaspoon feed you for a minute. Verse 8 says, you can receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I'm going to give you just a brief little description of the Holy Spirit in case somebody that may tune in to listen at the messages later, and they may not know, haven't been taught, but just what this is not for y'all, okay? Who is the Holy Spirit? To start with, let us make sure we know who he is. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Trinity because he is a spirit. You can have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that there is only one God, but it says that the one God is composed of three equal persons. The Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Spirit, but together they make up the one Godhead. It's like a pretzel. A pretzel has three holes. The first hole is not the second. The second is not the third, but it's all wrapped up in one string of dough. That is the divine nature. It ties the Father to the Son to the Holy Spirit. God sent Jesus into the world to give a physical manifestation of who God is and what God is like. But Jesus, when he sent us the Holy Spirit into the world to carry on his work during his absence. He taught them in verse 3 things concerning the kingdom of God. How the rule of God is supposed to work on earth through his people. I said on earth through his people. That's important. But he says the power to pull off this rule will come through somebody else that I'm going to send. In John 4:16, it says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may be with you forever. In verse 17, it says, the helper is the Holy Spirit of truth. What he is saying, he says, I am sending you another enabler. one of the same kind. He will be just like me. In other words, Jesus said he will be just like me. Have the same abilities I have the same powers that I have, but he will represent me as I represented the Father physically during my 33 years here on this earth. He will represent me. Talking about the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit is not delivering power, it doesn't matter that you know Jesus. They knew Jesus, but they didn't have any power. So the third member of the Trinity has but one goal, and that is to connect the Christian with their King. Because he was teaching them about the kingdom, it says. The Holy Spirit's job is to link you with the experience of Jesus. Through Jesus is physically, though Jesus is physically here with you, that's his job. Jesus is not with us anymore. He has sent the Holy Spirit. His full-time job is to make Jesus real for you, to make Jesus real through you, to make Jesus real to you and in you. When he was teaching them about the kingdom, now watch this, because the Holy Spirit only works if Jesus is King. You will see he is teaching them about the kingdom because the Holy Spirit only operates within the kingdom. The Holy Spirit only operates within his kingdom. He doesn't operate in your kingdom. He operates in God's kingdom. So if you're your own king, he can't help you. If we are experiencing powerlessness, it is because, number one, we are not committed to his divine rule. The Holy Spirit is unable to crank up because he doesn't deal like that. He don't roll like that in your kingdom. That is not consistent with the truth. That's why he is called the Spirit of Truth, because he only operates in concert with this realm, his realm, God's realm. In verse 5 it says, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The baptized, I thought about something about baptizing. You know, years ago, people would express themselves like some of the seminaries, like I was told the seminary, you would tell them, it says, if you see somebody out there, and they were talking about how to look, he said, look directly at them and just preach to them. Especially if they're crying or shouting or clapping their hands, they said they are taught to speak directly to them. And that was perhaps sparked everybody else. Then it says, give them some point where they can raise their voice to make a point. And I thought about something. Just to give you a little bit of break from this. There was something I heard years ago. This has to do with baptizing. And it was a cold day. Older, they had baptizing in the river. Sometimes they had a little pool outside. And it's usually warm when they had baptized. But this time, this day, it was kind of chilly. And they had a member to come to be baptized. And when he did that, he stepped in the water, the preacher's in front of him, and they're getting ready to dip him. He says, do you believe? And dipped him in the water, pulled him back out. Young man was shivering. Dipped him in again and said, I said, do you believe? And dipped him again. Pull him back out. He was shaking really there because it was cold out there. Then he said one last time, he said, one, I guess he said, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. He dipped in that last, and I said, do you believe? And dipped him over and held him over a little bit. And the guy came up shaking and said, yeah, I believe you're trying to drown the devil out of me. Now, where was I? Verse 5, he says, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. We are going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The word baptism means to immerse in something. Just like we do when we baptize people in water, we put them under the water. We dip them under the water. If you are going to experience the power, you have to go all the way under. To get this power, you have to be immersed in it. The Holy Spirit can't just be an add-on. He must be the centerpiece. I will baptize you and in another realm. And this realm is the realm of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into another realm. He baptizes you into the kingdom. He baptizes you into another relationship. And he only operates in that realm, not outside of that. He says, not many days from now, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, the power that you need is tied to the fact that you are saved. You are saved. We know you are saved. It is tied to your relationship to the Holy Spirit. If there is no connection to the Holy Spirit, the power that we read about, the power that we sung about this morning, the power that we give God praise about, you will not know it. Because there is no power, and the enemy knows that, because he don't want you to have power. Because he knows that you don't have power, he doesn't mind you adding new programs. He doesn't mind you doing something and doing that and adding on this and talking about this and having a special program for. He don't mind that. Just don't get the power. He says, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Let's look at chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly, a noise like a violent rushing wind came from heaven. And it filled the house, the whole house, it says, where they were sitting. In other words, when they got dipped, they got filled. Ephesians, you don't have to go there, I just added this on. Ephesians 5 and 18 put it this way. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word fill means to be under the influence of. Yeah. Ephesians 18 uses the illustration of being drunk. Yeah. He says, you have seen somebody drunk. Y'all seen somebody drunk before? Yeah. Maybe you've been there. It fills you up. And it was telling you what to do. He says, don't be drunk with wine. But every Christian has the right to be intoxicated. But not with wine. He says, be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Be under his influence. So much that you act outside of yourself. Be under his dominating spirit, his presence. How do you know that you are full of the Spirit? Being full of the Spirit is something that's observable. You can observe it. You can see it. It is not a secret. It is not a theory. The Spirit is like the wind. You can't see it. It's like electricity. You don't see, you can't see it. But you know it is at work. So is like the Holy Spirit. You can't see it, but you can see him working. In Acts chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. Just another one. You have to read the whole chapter. That's why I say you don't have to go there. But I'm just letting you know where this information is found. In Acts chapter 6, when they said choose leaders, it says choose leaders not with a seminary degree. It says choose leaders who are filled with the Spirit. So that means I must be able to observe that somebody is filled with the Spirit. It's something you can look at a person and the way they act, their emotions, you can tell by just looking at them that they are filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means that you are full of a spiritual perspective on things that's happening naturally. That is God's way of thinking dominates you. His saying, God's way, God's thinking dominates you. You are full of God's way of thinking. You're full of God's way of acting. You're full of God's way of reacting. You're full of God bringing God's perspective to bear witness to the spiritual perspective on everything. Most Christians visit the Spirit. They're not full of the Spirit. They take a sip of the Spirit. They are what we call social drinkers. They get a glass of Holy Spirit every now and then. But what they are not going to do is get intoxicated with the Spirit. They're not going to drink so much of him that they get drunk. It says to be full of the Spirit. And there is where the victory is. Being full of the Spirit is where the victory is. You know, the problem is some Christians are so non-spiritual, when spiritual people show up, they get upset. How many of you just have witnessed this? They come to you for spiritual advice, which is all you can give them, and they get mad when you bring the Bible in it. They get upset. They get upset when somebody makes all of the decisions on a biblical way of thinking. Who do you think you are? Always bringing up the Bible. Always bringing up Jesus. Talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't need that. I go to church. They do. Most of them do. I go to church just like you. We are so carnal that that spirited people make us angry. When they are the folk who need the power. They are the ones who don't have the power because they're part-time drinkers. He said that the Spirit filled the place. He owns it. He controls it. You are not full of the Spirit until it's normal for you to do. It's normal for you to have God's point of view on everything you do. It is not normal. If it's not normal, you're not full of the Spirit. And there is no power. How do you know when you're full of the Spirit? is not normal. It don't take much. You just have to go back to when you think you have the Spirit of God living in you. Let things start to happen that you don't agree with. Let somebody cut you off. Go to the doctor for just a routine checkup, and he ruined your day when you said you had something a lot worse we have found. You get all out of sorts. You forget all about the power that you supposedly possess. You start thinking about what carnal man says because you get in a carnal frame of mind. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, there's no way in the world half of us wouldn't be in here. At least walking around anyway. You won't see changes. You won't see supernatural things in your life. You won't see God overcome things for you because you are not full of what God uses. He only uses the Spirit to express His power based on His kingdom of authority. You will see power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's what the Word says. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, we will see the power. That's why he told them, just wait. I don't care about the teachings. I don't care about all this stuff I showed you, illustrations. You just go there and don't you do a thing. You just stay there and wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Luke 11 and 13. So as sinful man, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? For those who ask Him. It didn't say for those who are going to let them put their Holy Spirit into you. This is a personal thing. When you get a certain age in Christ, you know, you're accountable for reading your Bible. You're accountable for all the things that God has to offer. Because you have your own personal life to live, and God doesn't want you to stay under your parents' rule. That's why it's at a certain age, you're held accountable for your own actions. There is no excuse for not knowing the Word of God. I've never seen, every now and then I face through Facebook, I've never seen so many pages where people says, be like me. If you said, praise the Lord, He has something for you. You have to check this, say yes. They don't have the right concept of what really the Spirit of God has for you until nothing is mentioned about the Holy Spirit. And people will buy into that. And they buy into it and say, you want riches? Just check this. It's all through there. If evil people can give good gifts to their kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit for those who ask? In other words, it's not hard. I had an example, but I guess I'd give it a minute. In other words, it's not hard. It's easy. You don't have to go crazy doing crazy things like beating your head up against a wall, jumping and yelling. He says, if you ask, I will give you the Holy Spirit. He was talking to disciples. This is not complicated. In Acts chapter 2, all they were doing is standing in God's presence, and they got filled. That's all they were doing, standing in God's presence, and they were filled. He said, if you come to me, stand in my presence, and your heart is right, you're serious about it. This is no joke. Ask, and it shall be given. No. But 35 years ago, went to this particular church denomination, and they would call people up. Come on, be filled. You're not filled? Come on up here and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they would line them up through here, and you have ministers. And I was in the line because I was learning. That time I was learning a whole lot. I mean, I was just getting into learning all about the Holy Spirit, and man, it was just so exciting. And it says, just go ahead and just praise him. Not knowing that the hearts were right, not knowing that they really wanted. They were up here because they called them up. And they said, well, it got to be, if it's that easy, it got to be. But you got to be a certain, your heart has to be in a certain condition. And some people beside me, it gotten sort of, I was sort of hearing these people. He said, just say praise him, just worship him. And you start, if you start speaking, with just let your tongue talk. And I didn't, you know, I was serious. I want the Holy Spirit, but something just wasn't right for me. So I went home that evening, and I was working B shift. Linda's gone to work, and that thing bothered me. I think I probably up half the night thinking about the Holy Spirit. And I said, why didn't I get it? You know, everybody else was looking, seemed like they were doing something. You know, they were a little Yiddish or whatever they cut. And I said, you keep on practicing, it'll develop into a language. But I didn't get that. Evidently, the Lord had another direction for me. Because I really was serious about it. So I had to be at work at 3. I was on B shift. I used to leave home about 2. And I left home. And I still had this Holy Spirit thing all that day. I had the Holy Spirit on my mind. So it says, yours for the asking. I know that part. So on the way to work, driving, I said, Lord, I don't know what it is or why I didn't get it yesterday. But I said, I welcome you into my life. I want you to be a part of me. I want you to move on me. You said you direct us, teach us in all truth. I want all of that. I want to operate under your spirit. And I was on, I'll never forget, I was on 95, I got off 64, on 95. And I took the Murray, always took the Murray Street exit. And before I got off on Murray Street, man, I was speaking in tongues. But let me tell you something. All that stuff that they say they were looking for, I didn't do. I was driving. If I did that stuff they say, man, I've been off a bridge in the James River somewhere. But see, they try to predict how God's supposed to move in your life. He moves on everybody differently. And just like that, maybe some of you had came up, you wanted the Holy Spirit and didn't receive it, but I'm going to show you an easy way to do it. You don't need a preacher. You need the knowledge, and you need a heart to receive it. Hallelujah. That's all you have to do. Hallelujah. This is not hard, saints. It's easy. It says that Acts 1 and 8. I will end here, but maybe not that minute. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. It didn't say you shall be witnessing. It says you shall be my witnesses. That is going to be how you going to operate from this point on. Some years ago, I worked at the same factory. And if I didn't know any better, there weren't but two football teams in the NFL. That's the, right back then it was the Cowboys and the Redskins. But it's not the Redskins and the Cowboys, it's Cowboys, but it's Washington now. But they are the two teams. I mean, you didn't, when I, especially when you're on the floor and I go in the break room, you didn't have to ask them to talk because that's what they're going to talk about. They were coaches on Monday, and they called the perfect play. And if the other team had beat the other team and said, well, you cheated. They made false calls on you, on us. They were sports fans. That is all they knew how to talk about. They're going to talk about it even if you don't want to hear about it. You know why? Because they were baptized, immersed in it. And so that's all that was going to come out. See, I know Cowboys good team, Redskins good team, all those teams, you have fans. But you have some fans that are also Christians that are not immersed, not baptized. They're baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I know it shows y'all's team, somebody's team. Because that is what they are thinking about. That is what they are talking about. And you don't even have to schedule a Cowboy or a Redskin appointment. They're going to talk about that all the time. They had vehicles with the colors, blue and silver. And then the other one had tassels, maroon and gold. I brought brand new trucks painted like that. I tell you, that's how they roll. They were sports fans forever. And he says that we'll be, now he says that we will be, God says we're going to be his witnesses. In Acts chapter 2, it says they began to speak in other tongues that they had not studied before. Now, this is the only passage that show us tongues happening, that happens, tongues when they were occurring. That's in Acts chapter 2. But 1 Corinthians 14 talks about it, and it sort of illustrates it. In Acts 2, it shows it. And it says that everybody spoke a different language that they had not learned. Other people heard it in their own language, and they came to Christ. And so this case, tongues is a language that is spoken somewhere on this earth. It may sound like nothing to you. I used to watch the Discovery Channel a lot. And when they go into these foreign, backward African-type nations and different countries, and man, they hear them talk. How in the world could they understand what they're saying? But that's a language. I used to think of it like this, back when I first received the Holy Spirit. I said, it's like, remember, used to have a regular card, a MasterCard. Then they had this gold card. See, people at my, credit rate during that time, I didn't get a, they didn't even think about offering me a gold card. I had a regular card, and it had a low high end on it, maybe 1,000, 2,000, But with me having that card, I mean, if I needed something, needed emergency-wise, I could spend up to $2,000, I could get it. But if you had a gold card, woo-wee! And I used to think of the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, just being saved, and, you know, you're limited. But if you're with the Spirit, it's unlimited. Unlimited. The point is about the languages. The point is not about the languages. The point is that you could do something that you couldn't do before. Peter was scared a few days earlier. Now he breaks out saying, "We are not drunk. It's only 12 o'clock, 12 noon. But this is that the prophet spoke. This is what the prophet spoke about when he declared that God will send a spirit known as the Holy Spirit. And you, when you killed Jesus, he 3 days, he got here, rose from the dead. You must now accept him as Lord of your life in order for you to be given, forgiven of your sins." What happened to Peter? 3 days earlier, a little earlier, he was running for his life, scared, abandoned Jesus. That's why he told him, said, "You go up there in that upper room. I want you to stay there. Don't you make a move to go nowhere until you receive power of the Holy Spirit." Saints, we are doing the same thing. Once you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing is out of your reach concerning the things of God. That's why I'm walking around here now, because of the Spirit of God. That's why our power come to believe God, to have faith to be healed, that he said that you were already healed. I've already done it for you. That's what happened to our cancer. That's why we walked in it. We walked in our healing. I don't care how bad the doctor said it, how long it before it started before. And man, you could have given up. But you had the Spirit of God in you. You with the tumor, I think it was. I could be wrong, but you had something serious. God removed it. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in his word. And his word says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Peter got up and said, "Y'all, you better ask God for the forgiveness of your sins." This man was preaching. He denied Christ 3 times a few days earlier. Now he bodily stands up. The same people who killed Jesus, who threatened him, where did he get all that power from? He had gotten filled with God. You know that the filling had occurred because we now take your stand with God. Things that used to mess you up won't mess you up anymore. You'll have power that you didn't have before. Do things that you couldn't do before. Because you are now filled in a way you have never been filled before. Peter could do things he couldn't do before, even foreign language that he never learned before, because he was now filled. He was under control of another. And that another was the kingdom of God. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. You try it for yourself. See, we're about to, I don't need to go no further than this. I had a whole lot left, but I already said it. Look, we're about to go into our church fast.